WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And if you missed our programming note at the beginning of the program, back in the 6 o'clock hour, just a couple of quick things. Our overnight programming, because we've been carrying the Charlie Kirk Show in its current format, but they've rebranded. And so now you're going to get 2 hours of Scott Jennings and then an hour of Alex Marlowe. That's how long those shows are. It's a 2 hour show with Scott Jennings, a 1 hour show with Alex Marlowe. So Scott Jennings is on from 10 to 12 at night. And then Alex Marlowe is on from midnight to 1 a.m. So if you are up late listening to those programs, that's the new. So really, nothing's really changing. It's just they're making it official that it's their shows instead of the Charlie Kirk Show filled in with other people. And then, the new city council president is Ward 6 Councilor Ryan Pereira, and he will be joining us Mondays at 8 a.m., just as Council President Burgo did. And he'll be taking your calls. And as I said, you know, I'm going to leave it up to him when he wants to start. Sometimes, you know, there's work to be done in figuring out all the committees and all that stuff. So, you know, if he wants to take a week or two before he starts joining us, whatever he needs, but then he'll be with us on a regular basis. One thing he did ask is if he can have the committee chairs come on when there's something important for them to discuss, something important going on in committee. And I said, of course, we'll figure out what that means. If that means they're coming on with him instead of him, whatever it may be. But absolutely. You know, I agree with his approach here that, you know, Council President Burgo was telling us about yesterday. Well, now Councilor Burgo, but was telling us about how, as Council President, Councilor Pereira wants to put more emphasis on the committees and give them more power and make their job, you know, stand out a little bit more. And so certainly we can have that be part of the weekly discussions. So you'll still be able to call in and interact and ask questions just as you have been able to with council when Councilor Burgo was the council president. So that's good news. So 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We can talk about a variety of different things. Of course, we had a number of news stories yesterday posted at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. There was a story of a missing boy, too. And you might have seen that the boy was missing. You might not have seen that the boy was very quickly found. And a lot of times, I don't always post those missing child stories. Because by the time I see them, and then by the time I get them written up and get them posted, usually they end up finding the child. And Something told me yesterday, I was like, just do it. Because maybe that's the reason why they find the kid. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's a little bit of fate intervening. So I was like, all right, I'll just get this out there. And then sure enough, within a couple of minutes of posting it, he was found. So that worked out well. And from what his mom was saying in the comments, he was trying to walk to his grandmother's, I guess. So that was good news. So if you saw that story, you know, it had a happy resolution. We also have the story of Sheriff Harrow telling us that it has now been 3 years since an inmate suicide at a Bristol County Sheriff's Office facility. When previously the Ash Street Jail or House of Correction, they were averaging 1 to 4 suicides a year going back to 1998. Sheriff Hero had an inmate suicide occur about 36 hours after he took office. Really, it was the next day. And then that's it. There hasn't been one since. So, and as we've talked about in the past, and as he's talked about in the past here on these airwaves, you know, they spend a lot of time and energy suicide-proofing the beds. And as he said in the release he put out yesterday, you know, no jail is ever going to be 100% suicide-proof, but all you can do is try to reduce the opportunities. And it seems like they've done an effective job of that. So you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I had also mentioned, you know, because this is the hour that we do the Gen X Files. This is a time when we talk a lot about pop culture. I had mentioned in the last hour that for those of you who lament the loss of old school MTV, there's a digital option for you. So here's what actually happened, because I saw all the stuff going around social media over the holidays about how, you know, MTV was dead and MTV was over. And honestly, MTV proper, MTV, the main channel, kind of died a long time ago. Because for years now, it's been nothing but a wasteland of rebroadcasts. I think they still do new seasons of shows. I think they had like a Jersey Shore reunion show. And I think they still put out new episodes of some of the other reality shows that they do. But it's a lot of reruns of like 90s and early 2000s sitcoms. It's a lot of reruns of Ridiculousness. For those of you who aren't aware, that's the name of a show, Ridiculousness. So it's a lot of reruns of that, reruns of Teen Mom, things like that. Because even some of the original MTV content that they're trying to make new versions of, instead of putting it on MTV, they're putting it on the Paramount Plus app. And so they actually just made new episodes of Beavis and Butthead, but they put that on Comedy Central. So it's a little bit of a shift in strategy of how they're delivering this content anyway. So MTV certainly as a music channel died a long time ago, but it really is having any kind of original programming. It's been a while, outside of a few exceptions. What MTV did years ago is they moved all the music videos off MTV and they created these different channels. In America, we had a few different ones. We had MTVU, which was like college radio music videos, but not like in the sense of 80s college radio. It was like all alternative rock. It was all different kinds of like underground stuff or stuff that was just starting to break, things like that. And then they had MTV Hits, which was playing, you know, the I don't even know, you know, the time period, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, things like that. And I think those channels went away a while ago. But they have MTV Live, which plays current music videos of all different genres. And they have MTV Classic, which plays older music videos. And I record shows on MTV Classic to have videos to just play in the background while I'm doing work or whatever. And so I record 90s Nation, which is all stuff from the 90s, alternative, hip-hop, all kinds of stuff. And then they have I Want My 80s, and they have Metal Mayhem. And I'll record those too. So, and those channels are music videos 24 hours a day, plus commercials. You usually get about 3 or 4 videos in before they run a commercial break. In Europe, they had a number of different music channels with all different genres. So what got shut down recently were all of the music channels on MTV's Europe networks. So it wasn't anything to do with American MTV. That's what was shut down, was the music channels in Europe. Now, I was reading something that said that this is probably part of a bigger strategy to put more music videos on the main MTV Europe channel. I don't know if that's true. But they got rid of those channels in Europe, not here in America. Here we still have MTV Live. Here we still have MTV Classic. But one person has decided to bring back the spirit of MTV with something called MTV Rewind. Now, years ago, there was a plan for something similar to this to be an actual network. So it was probably, I want to say around 2010 or so, maybe like around that time period, the Viacom-owned networks, which is MTV, well, I mean, now it's Paramount and Sky, all this different stuff. But at the time, they were Viacom networks. So MTV, VH1, Nickelodeon, they had talked about, I think Comedy Central as well, they had talked about doing digital networks of these, or, you know, cable networks that would be throwback styles. And they were going to do Nickelodeon Rewind. And it was going to be like all the old stuff that we grew up on. Gen Xers grew up on watching on Nickelodeon. You can't do that on television. Belle and Sebastian. You know, Pinwheel for the little kids. Things like that. Double Dare. And it was going to run all of that. And then they were going to have one with MTV doing the same thing. And then they were going to have one with VH1 doing the same thing. And I don't think it ever launched. I know they tried a couple of weekends where they did it for Nickelodeon on one of the other Nickelodeon channels, like Nick Teen or Nick Jr. or something. And they did like a weekend of all retro stuff. And maybe it didn't get the viewership they wanted, so they didn't go forward with this plan. And then the MTV Rewind idea, the classic MTV idea, that was a channel on a menu option on Paramount Plus when it first launched. You know, you can go back and watch classic MTV stuff, but it didn't go too far back. But this person has taken the idea of an MTV Rewind, an authentic music video channel, and recreated it on the internet. So you can go to wantmymtv.verkel.app or vercel.app. It's wantmymtv.verkel.app. And I shared a link on my Facebook page. When you go to that, it tells you, welcome to the time machine. 27,293 music videos spanning 6 decades from the 1970s to the 2020s. No ads, no algorithms, no login, just pure random discovery. It says pick a decade, press play, let the chaos begin. So when you go to this, you're basically just going to watch music videos that are fed from YouTube, but it's programmed it together. And one of the things you can actually do is you can watch the first day of MTV. They have all the original videos from the first day of MTV, from the launch to the Buggles to everything else. What was the second one? Love is the Battlefield, was it? Or I think it was a Pat Benatar song. But you can go to 70s, you can go to 80s, you can go to 90s. I'm just going to click on 90s right now, and it's showing Urban Species Blanket. Now I'm going to click on 80s. Psychedelic Furs, Heaven. Go to the 70s. Casey and the Sunshine Band, I'm Your Boogeyman. And you don't have to watch that video. You can skip to the next one if you want in the playlist. But it's about finding stuff that's, you know, obscure, finding stuff that, you know, back in the day you would have turned on MTV and that's how you would have discovered a song. It's even kind of in like a TV type player. They also have it. They have a couple of channels too. They have a Yo MTV Raps and a Headbangers Ball. And I haven't gotten that far yet, but I guess it has some old MTV drops in it. You know, some of the bumpers. It has, it doesn't run ads, but it has some commercials from the time periods. So that's kind of fun. So again, wantmymtv.vercel.app. So I got a feeling I'm going to have this playing in the background today. I've got two monitors in my office. I'm just going to work on one and then have this running on the other one. But I saw that this morning at like 4:30 in the morning and immediately hit share so that I would remember it. So that I would know where to find it. 508-996-0500. It looks like Skitty's calling back in. So good morning. You're on WBSM.
Thank you so much for letting me call back in. So remember when I talked to you about Ananda Lewis? She was a part of MTV.
She was, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like one of the few women. And I told you how she passed away, unfortunately, very young age. But remember when I told you my husband went to one of her talk shows? Like when she first started out on it, and she signed a bra. It was about women's lingerie, the whole show was, and everybody showed up in PJs. I got the picture of her with them, the ticket, the bra she signed, and everything. And I remember one day calling into your show and talking about it, and you were like, eh, I don't think it's going to be worth anything. And then, unfortunately, she died like 2 months later.
Yeah, and she had cancer, right?
Yeah, and I was, like, shocked, but I still got all that stuff. And if they're going to reboot that, maybe somebody out there would like that. Whoever's going to do it, I would, I don't know, I just think as a memorabilia, I would just...
Well, there, I mean, there probably are MTV collectors out there for sure.
Well, if in a way, I just want to give it away to somebody for free. If it's the... the actual creator of starting this new MTV version up.
Yeah, this is just a web page. So, and all they have for any kind of contact info is they just have a little button if you want to make a donation to them.
Yeah. No, I thought it was going to be something really big.
No. Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to see any major. You know, there won't be any major channels that launch anymore because everything is digital.
Yeah, you know, Tim, you're so right. Oh, I'm so outdated.
that's all right. I mean, I'm still paying for cable every month, and every month I pay the bill, and I'm like, why am I doing this still?
Well, that's okay, because you told me that I could still set up my, antenna, and I could still try to get all these stations. I haven't even bothered yet.
Yeah, I'm just lazy, so I just pay the money.
Jeez, no. That's not, no, you know what? I think that's your personality. You need to get everything. You cannot not see everything.
If I break it all down and do it, you know, streaming, it's going to cost me just as much and it'll be a little bit more of a headache. So whatever.
Your news personality, you need to know everything and see everything on time.
It's more, I don't want to do the work of actually signing up for everything. And like I went to go upgrade one of my streaming subscriptions to get rid of the ads, and I was like, why do I have three different logins for this? I hope I'm not paying three different monthly payments on this. But
that is something to ask yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably because I signed up for the free trial three times under three different email addresses before I finally bit the bullet and paid for it.
Yeah, because when you sign up, it's really hard to unsign.
Oh, it's not that. I mean, the trial ended, but I just still had the login because I created the account for it. So,
well, I have a couple of friends that did that, try to like scam.
Well, it's the equivalent of people that didn't get AOL and they just lived off those free discs.
I still got an AOL free disc in its package with that computer that is so old.
I have an iMac somewhere that I was going to bring in here and set up in the conference room. And my idea was to have the high school interns go in there and try to use it.
Oh, that would be so fun. Oh, my stars. If you did that and you videotaped that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to it. When I sold all my video games, I must have included it with it by accident. So.
Yeah, see, that would be so nostalgic just to see you test them. Oh, my God, that is funny. Well, anyways, I appreciate you letting me call back in, but I just wanted, and honestly, with all this stuff and after her passing, I'm like, I just want to give it to the right person. I don't even want money.
Just be careful, because when you start offering up Ananda Lewis's bra, the right person might not be the person that's asking for it.
I'll do the swap in front of the police station.
Yeah, but the reason why they're asking for it might not be for collectability. You know what I mean? They might just be a little bit weird.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So, all right. Mm-hmm. You have a good day.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
And so, just very quickly, speaking of the iMac, I remember when I first went to UMass Dartmouth, fall of 1996, and I had only used a computer to go down the internet a couple of times in high school. So I had no idea what the internet was, what it did. I would go on a laptop in the computer room at school and connect into a database of a newspaper or a library and just be able to read their card catalog. And was like, wow, this is awesome. But I didn't know like anything about what the internet actually could do until I went to UMass Dartmouth and started using the computers in the computer lab. And then they built a brand new computer lab that had all the iMacs in it. And, you know, they came in like the neon colors and they were kind of see-through and all that. And one day I had to go to that computer lab and I was like, I don't know how to use any of these computers. I don't know how to do any of this. And then years later, I saw one at a yard sale for like $10 and I bought it and it still worked. And you could still connect to AOL over it and all that stuff. And yeah, that was my plan. I was going to bring it in here and put it in the conference room and just say, hey, intern, go use that computer. And I was going to film them doing it. But then I didn't. And then I think when I sold all my video games, because I had every video game system. Going back to the Magnavox Odyssey. And I was moving and I didn't want to have to bring everything with me and I needed some money. So I just sold it all off. And I think I must have thrown the iMac in with it. Anyway, I got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news from Mike Roberts. And then on the other side of that, today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by Just Another Phoenix. So stick around.
Shit.
You're listening to the Tim Meisberg Show. Hey. Call 508-996-0500.
Venezuela's Maduro pleads not guilty. An evacuation near the Arizona state capitol and a new deadline for a possible government shutdown.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is pleading not guilty to federal drug and weapons charges. Maduro was arraigned yesterday and charged in the U.S. with narco-terrorism, conspiracy, cocaine importation, and weapons offenses. The House minority leader is criticizing the capture of Venezuelan President Maduro. At a Monday news conference, Representative Hakeem Jeffries called out the administration for taking military action without getting congressional authorization.
The American people are now supposed to believe that this whole situation that has unfolded in Venezuela has anything to do with a counter-narcotics operation. Get lost.
He said the administration is out of control and that it must answer a lot of questions about Saturday's military operation. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is pointing to his state's child care fraud scandal as the reason behind his decision not to seek re-election. Walz told reporters that every minute he spends defending his political interest would be a minute away from defending the people of Minnesota against the criminals who prey on their generosity. He also added that he would have to defend the cynics who prey on differences. The Democrat insisted he's combating the fraud and added he would have won the election if he stayed in the race. Walz rose to the national stage after being picked to be Kamala Harris's running mate in the 2024 presidential election. He was running for his third term as governor. Neither Republicans nor Democrats appear to have an appetite for another government shutdown. The next government funding deadline is set for January 31st. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer told ABC News Republicans and Democrats are working together on spending bills that don't include a health care component. Meanwhile, the House is expected to vote this week on a bill allowing a 3-year extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies. House Republicans already passed a health care bill that did not include an ACA extension. Both measures are expected to be worked on in the Senate. President Trump will be joining Republicans at a private GOP retreat in Washington, D.C. Reports say the day-long event at the Trump-Kennedy Center will reportedly focus on their strategy to keep the majority in the midterm elections. Politico reports Trump will address the group at the start of the session and tout party wins and rally lawmakers as the midterm campaigns get underway. Federal health officials say the U.S. is seeing a major spike in the number of flu cases.
The latest data from the CDC shows over 3,100 Americans died from the virus in 2025 and called it the most severe flu season since 2018. The new federal data says the flu was responsible for 279 pediatric deaths. As of December the 20th, it says there's been an estimated 7.5 million flu cases in the U.S. and 81,000 hospitalizations. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Arizona Senator Mark Kelly is reacting to the news of being censured by the Department of War. In a statement, Kelly called the move outrageous and wrong. The Democrat added in his part that he will fight with everything he's got, adding that he won't be intimidated by the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. Evacuations took place at the Arizona State Capitol in Phoenix on Monday after a package, officials said, contained two vials of a homemade explosive substance. Multiple buildings were evacuated, including the state court's building, which houses the Arizona Supreme Court and Court of Appeals. Officials are currently looking into the situation. A former child star claims he was fired from Universal Studios after reporting a suspected pedophile at the park.
In a post on social media, Stephen Anthony Lawrence alleged he was fired as retaliation in response to the allegation. The former actor said that he couldn't be associated with an organization or people that don't care about performer or guest safety. Lawrence also said he'll never allow his kids to go to Universal Studios Hollywood. The former child actor played Bernard Bean's Aaron Guerin in the Disney Channel series Even Stevens in the early 2000s. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Lake Superior State University's 50th annual Banished Words list is out, and it includes 6-7, which was just named Dictionary.com's Word of the Year for 2025 in October. Making up the rest of the list are demure, cooked, massive, incentive, full stop, perfect, gift or gifted, my bad, and reach out.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Celtics beat the Bulls 115-101 last night. Seas will host the Denver Nuggets tomorrow, and the Bruins skate in Seattle tonight at 10.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast.
Mostly cloudy today. It will be drier, though watch for a few icy spots early this morning inland away from the shoreline. Temperatures in the afternoon in the upper 30s. Rain showers develop tonight, mainly late at night and towards the overnight hours. Temperatures in the middle 30s. A leftover rain shower Wednesday morning. Some partial clearing in the afternoon. Highs near 40. Looks nice for Thursday. Sunshine milder and a high of 45. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
MTV News. You hear it first.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Justin Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, is celebrating his 71st birthday today. Golfer Nancy Lopez is 69. Celebrity chef Nigella Lawson and former NFL player and current broadcaster Howie Long both turned 66. Pioneer woman Ree Drummond and Walking Dead star Norman Reedus are both 57. TV host Julie Chen is 56. Danny Pintaro, who as a child played Jonathan on Who's the Boss, he turns 50 today. Eddie Redmayne, who played Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything, is 44. Three people turning 42 today. SNL alum Kate McKinnon, podcaster and TV personality Hilaria Baldwin, and President Donald Trump's middle son, Eric Trump. Courtney Eaton, who plays the teen version of Lottie on the hit series Yellowjackets, celebrates her 30th birthday today. On January 6, 1973, ABC's Schoolhouse Rock debuted with its very first segment, which was Multiplication Rock. On January 6, 1973, Carly Simon's You're So Vain, featuring Mick Jagger on backing vocals and a bass intro by Klaus Voormann, began a three-week run at the top of the Billboard Hot 100. The brutal yet delightfully catchy takedown of A Selfish Lover would go on to be the singer-songwriter's biggest hit and her signature song. In 1974, in response to the 1973 oil crisis, daylight savings time began nearly 4 months early in the United States. In 1975, Pink Floyd began recording their ninth album, Wish You Were Here, at Abbey Road Studios in London. Released in September of the same year, the LP includes the song Shine On You Crazy Diamond, a nine-part tribute split between two tracks, which opened and closed the record to the group's former bandmate, Syd Barrett. Also on January 6, 1975, the mayor of Boston canceled the Led Zeppelin concert after over 2,000 fans rioted trying to buy tickets. The fans caused an estimated $50,000 to $75,000 worth of damage to Boston Garden. The gig during the band's North American tour was rescheduled for February 4th. On January 6, 1976, Peter Frampton's live double album, Frampton Comes Alive, was released. Powered by his trusty talkbox sound, it became one of the best-selling live albums in all of music history. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. On this date in 1979, the Village People appeared on American Bandstand, where the crowd did the soon-to-be-famous arm movements spelling out YMCA. Host Dick Clark made sure they learned those moves, and they did. In 1986, following a suicide attempt and an alcohol-fueled nervous breakdown, Judas Priest frontman Rob Halford finally went to rehab. He got out a month later, completed the Turbo album with the band, and has managed to stay sober ever since. In 1987, in Australia, Elton John had throat surgery to remove a lesion on his vocal cords, forcing him to cancel the rest of his upcoming U.S. tour. It's good news, though, the lesion wasn't cancerous and he made a full recovery. In 1990, Phil Collins began a three-week run at the top of the Billboard 200 with his fourth studio album, But Seriously, spurred by hits like I Wish It Would Rain Down, Something Happened on the Way to Heaven, and the Grammy-winning Another Day in Paradise. The record became a massive global hit, topping the charts in more than 20 countries. In 1993, Rolling Stones bass player Bill Wyman left the group after 30 years of service. He said, I left because I didn't see anything new happening in the future. I realized if we played for another 10 years, I'd still be playing Jumpin' Jack Flash, Honky Tonk Women, Street Fighting Man, until we packed up. And of course now, you know, 30 plus years later, the band is still playing Jumpin' Jack Flash, Honky Tonk Women, and Street Fighting Man. In 1994, Olympic ice skater Nancy Kerrigan was attacked when Tonya Harding's husband and bodyguard hired Shane Stant to break her legs. Kerrigan finished in second place. Harding finished in eighth place at the event. On this date in 1998, 11-year-old Zach Hanson became the youngest songwriter ever nominated for a Grammy when Hanson's debut hit, Mmm-bop, was considered for Record of the Year and Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal. And on January 6, 2004, the Apple iPod Mini first generation was released, taking the power of the iPod into a much smaller package. That is the Gen X Files for January 6, 2026, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards Program, and where you can try some of their great specials. This week, focusing on getting you back on track in the new year with things like protein pancakes and the Bodybuilder Omelet. All right, that is today's edition of the Gen X Files, and we're going to take a break here. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
If you served in the Vietnam, Gulf War, or post-9/11 eras, you may be eligible for expanded VA benefits. A new law, known as the PACT Act, provides disability compensation, health care, free toxic exposure screens, and more to veterans who were exposed to toxins during their military service. You can submit a claim for your PACT Act-related benefits now. Claims received by August 10, 2023 may be paid back to August 10, 2022. Visit va.gov/PACT to learn more and file your claim.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Wake up!
Starting your day the right way with the Tim Weisberg Show. Mornings on WBSM.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust a team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. So, and again, 508-996-0500 is my number if you want to call in and chime in. And it is a day where, you know, now we've got the new city council. We've got the new councilors who were sworn in. I mean, obviously, everybody's sworn in. But now you have James Roy and Scott Pemberton on the council. You have a new council president in Ryan Pereira, who will be joining us on Mondays at 8 o'clock. And now that new council is going to be getting together with the remaining members of the school committee, including the new school committee members that were sworn in as well. And they're all going to be deciding who is going to fill that vacancy on the New Bedford School Committee from the passing of Bruce Oliveira. Nine candidates. We talked about them yesterday. You can read about them at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. But nine applicants, I should say, for filling that seat through 2027. And so that's something that, you know, I asked Council President Burgo yesterday off air, you know, will this definitely be solved? You know, will they definitely select somebody by the end of that meeting? And he said they don't have to. So they could decide that they want to have more hearings. They could decide that they wanted to have more time to review. But that, you know, the state law says that this is the way that you do it, but that they really do have some leeway in exactly how they do it. So it remains to be seen what will actually happen. Mayor Mitchell will be here with Chris McCarthy tomorrow for Midweek with the Mayor, tomorrow at 11, and he can kind of dive into it a little bit more as the chair ex officio of the school committee. And so he will be there and he'll be part of it and he'll have a vote, but his vote counts just as much as the other 17 people that'll be there. Or the other 16 people. And so it's going to take 9 votes for the person to be able to be selected. And that means that, you know, there's probably going to be multiple rounds of voting. They're going to give each candidate 5 minutes, each applicant 5 minutes to state their case. They may decide at the beginning of this meeting, when they set the rules for the meeting, they may decide that they want to have a time where they can ask them questions as well. So that'll only make it go a little bit longer. So you're looking at 9 people with 5 minutes. That's 45 minutes of just them talking, let alone if they decide to add in questions. Let alone if they decide that after the first round of voting, they let the next people speak on their behalf. You know what I mean? So this, you know, it could be a marathon night. It could be a long night. So they may decide to just hold it off there and say, well, you know, we'll pick this up in another joint convention of these committee of these boards. Let's take a quick phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I just have one. You know, for the 2026, as far as the news, if you can get national, something other than ABC, like News Nation, unbiased, you know.
No, we're in a contract. We're contracted to ABC.
Okay. Oh, then I have to bear with it then. I want to talk about the city.
What did you hear that was biased? I wasn't listening.
Well, it's the way that when they report the news, they put a slant to it. I know I see it on TV. I'm not a big fan of ABC. NBC, CBS, you know, the legacy media. I tune into News Nation. They tend to be report more the facts, and they don't put any of their, you know, opinions or whatever.
And I don't know if News Nation does radio news. I don't think they have a radio syndicate.
You can look into that.
Yeah, I think your choices are. I know that you know, we have ABC News here. I know that Fox was doing. I don't know if Fox still kept their radio syndicate. They might have taken theirs down. So there isn't really a lot of options out there anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, you know. But
in terms of radio,
that
I mean.
Up because I'm a regular listener, you know, of WBSM, and I'm just giving you my suggestions, but you know, take it for what it's worth. Anyway, I want to talk about the taxes because the first two quarters it made it look like we got a reprieve on our taxes, and then. And then they hit us for the third and fourth quarter. And since this mayor has been in office since he came in 2012, he's been going up every year on the city budget. He has no courage to make cuts and tighten the belt because he's going to tax us out of our homes. This mayor doesn't give a damn because he knows at the end of the day he's got his paycheck. And, you know, those of us on fixed incomes will keep tightening. And this mayor comes on Wednesdays, and he's smug. He thinks he looks down at us taxpayers like he knows better than us because he went to Harvard. But I don't care about that. But we need to start making cuts. And, you know, when I asked City Councilor Burgo, you know, the 5 major things that I know he's one guy, but you have to have ideas of what you're going to do because, like you said, as a body, you can make some changes if you work together. But we definitely have to cut the taxes in this city to bring in, you know, more businesses. People need jobs. And those of us elderly, we're struggling just to put gas and electric bill.
Where do you see they're being able to make cuts? I mean, one of the big things...
Well, he needs to start with the school department.
But what are you going to cut from the school department?
Every single department, he's got to make cuts. Especially his administrative office, which is ballooned. He's got more people on his staff administrators than the previous mayors. He's going to wear multiple hats, get in there, roll up his sleeves, and get to work.
I think that's a fair point. He does have a very large staff. But in terms of the school spending, I mean, you got to keep in mind, too, there's requirements that they have to meet. There's things that they have to have. It's, you know, when you have those requirements that you meet, they have to meet, that's going to be very expensive for a school, for a city the size of New Bedford.
Well, we have, it's $168 million, according to Melissa Costa, last time she was on with Brian Thomas on Freedom Fools. And she says 100, and it keeps going up every year. You know, they're gonna. That's why, if you look around, there's a lot of storage facilities. It's because the mayor's anticipating those of us elderly and others that are just barely hanging on are gonna lose our homes, and all our belongings are gonna go into storage facilities. I never hear him talk about making cuts. No, since he came in, and it's taking a devastating toll on us elderly and many other working families that are, as much as we've had it. We can't keep going up on the taxes. We're going to lose our homes. Nobody cares. That's the problem. The mayor comes on. He's arrogant. He doesn't care about us. He thinks he knows better. And the city council, we need them to step it up, united, so they can help us. You know, reduce taxes, commercial and residential, so we can get businesses, because there's young people who can't find jobs. And there's other people, family people, that can't find jobs. Yeah, or if they find a job, it's not enough to pay their bills.
Oh, we'll have to see how this council comes together. It's early yet, but maybe this group can get some things done.
I hope so. I hope so. Stop the infighting and get together. Roll up your sleeves and let's get to work and put the city forward. I want the city to prosper, and I want all of us here who live here, especially the younger families and the young people, to have an opportunity. And with this mayor, we're not going anywhere.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day.
Thank you, Tim.
And we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. All right. We're going to be taking a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app.